white and pudgy, like the 17th century artist, you know, rendering of him, or if you're, you know, part of, if you've ever gone to Hispanic church, they have pictures of him, and doggone it, he looks Puerto Rican, you know? It's kind of a funny thing. You have this composite sketch that you have to formulate, and today, none of the things that he does today fits in where we would file him in our brain. But the amazing thing is, what we see in him today is exactly what most of us need. What you're going to see today in the Lord Jesus is a man who, for a woman, you can sit back and go, let me take this from here. The Bible says this, I prayed it before, that the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to him and are safe. So many women have no protector. They have nobody to watch over them. They have nobody to hide behind. They have nobody to say, sick them. Today, I'm going to introduce you to this guy, this man, this God, this Savior, this strong tower, whom you can truly trust. And you don't got to worry about it anymore. Now, for us men, if you have that type of personality, that type A personality like myself, you know, you're going to find today that you don't have to tell nobody off anymore. You can leave all this correction to God. You can let people who took advantage of you, people who, you know, if you're one of those people and when somebody does something, oh, I'm going to tell that. You're going to find today you don't got to no more. God is going to take care of it. God is going to settle accounts. There ain't no pastor that's ever hurt you. There ain't no man that's ever abused you. There's nobody that's ever taken advantage of you in any way, shape, or form in whatever area of your life is that you need to worry about anymore. God's got this. Watch this amazing man. And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. Please give me your attention. That's not a very nice thing to say. Doesn't he know that he's going to get emails about that? People are going to send him emails and tell him, you can't say ugly and mean things to each other. People will not show up to your church if you do that. People will stop following you. I don't care how much bread you can make. I don't care how much wine you could turn from water. If you tell people that their whole generation is evil, they're not going to like you. And didn't you notice something about the Lord Jesus? That you cannot pigeonhole him. That sometimes he was really nice to people and sometimes, as they say, not so much. And he always knew when to and when not to do that. Unlike me, who has absolutely no clue. Zero. He looks at these people who just, if you were here last Sunday, just told him that the only way he could cast out a demon is because he's the devil himself. That's what they just literally told him. You're the devil. That's how come you can cast out demons. He said to them, again, this is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. Again, please, I love this line. I remember the first time I heard it, it struck me. If you're one of those people who really thought about God, you were at the agnostic point of your life. You were an agnostic. You weren't a disbeliever, but you needed to know more. And you literally looked up to God and God, show me a sign. Let me see, if you're real, you will bring me, you will do for me, you will fill in if you were one of those. And he says, no sign's going to be given except the sign of Jonah the prophet. It was, I think, Corey Ten Boom, very famous Indian Christian, said, I asked God to write his name in the stars. As if the stars themselves weren't enough. Isn't that crazy? We look up at the stars and we go, if just write your name, Yahweh or Jesus or Yeshua, whatever language you speak and you want to put, wait a second, there are stars in the sky. There's these giant balls of gas hundreds of millions of light years away that I'm seeing, and they don't change, and they, according to the Bible, were made for navigation and pleasure. And I'm asking him to write my name in them, or his name in them, or somebody's name in them. Never did it ever occur. I remember getting saved and looking at the times of my life where God rescued me. And for the first time seeing it, like, how was I so stupid? I mean, how many of you guys will honestly, if you live that type of life, will honestly say, if it wasn't for truly either a guardian angel or the very hand of God watching over, you'd be dead today. No chance. Come on. Look around. There's no chance I make this life for 52 years without some kind of sovereign hand upon me. There's a Bible verse in the book of Psalms that says, if the Lord had not been on our side, then all of our enemies would have swallowed us alive. If the Lord had not been on our side, then all the mighty waters would have swept over us. It's true. Has not the last week, did you guys, I mean, have you ever seen so much water? In such a short time. I took my garbage cans out on Thursday. On Friday, I couldn't push them over. I was like, how did you put so much water in this can in 12 hours? I went to sleep last night. I woke up, the things were 3/4 full. And then they said, oh, you're going to get another 10 inches of rain. And I looked on my phone, weather, rain, 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 rain. You guys get that? And do you know how many days it rained since then? Zero. How do you do that, God? Why do you? I told you I was never going to flood the earth again. Well, you came darn close this last time. But I stopped the rain like that. God, but then I thought about people who really struggle with this. People who live, I mean, a nation like Haiti or Puerto Rico or, I mean, these little islands in where the Jamaica that got slammed a couple of years. I mean, what complaints do I got? You know, my grass grew too much, or I had to walk through a puddle on my property. I mean, come on. I got to pinch myself once in a while. I go, you better stop your whining, because there's people with real problems out there. I believe it. These are first world problems. Too much rain on my grass is a first world problem. He says, no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah the prophet. What sign was that? Jonah was a preacher of wrath. God said, I want you to go. You can look up the book Jonah. You can read it. He's got a book by his own name and everything. And he says, I want you to go and preach to these people in Nineveh and tell them that wrath is falling upon them. He goes up there and he preaches and he goes, you're all going to die in 40 days. Goodbye. And it says the whole nation repented. So that's the only sign you get. That Jonah was in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights. That's the sign. Kind of giving a little foreshadowing that he's going to be in the belly of the earth, right? Verse 31. The queen of the south will rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. It's just a little scary. In our American lifestyle here, it's not just America, it's any first world country. We ask God to do some gymnastics for us, don't we? Here, he goes into this town, he casts out a couple of demons, his apostles are hanging out there for a few days, and they want more. It's not enough, they want more. He says, let me tell you, you get no more. You wicked and evil generation, your whole generation is wicked. You want a sign? I'll give you a sign. It's in the Bible. Jonah the prophet. You want a sign? It's in the Bible. You have a book, and it's accurate, 100% perfect. If you don't read it, you'll never hear about it, and you'll miss it, and you'll wind up burning in hell. How's that sound? Doesn't sound like my Jesus. I thought Jesus was a real nice guy and never said any ugly things to anybody. Boy, was I confused about who this guy was. You guys remember the story? We just studied a couple months ago. This woman travels some 1,500 miles to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And she's blown away. She heard all the things that Solomon had to say, there was no spirit left within her, said. You guys remember that story? So that's the type of believer I want. Somebody who one day wakes up and goes, there's got to be more in my life, and I'm going to find it. Even if I got to travel 1,500 miles. Do you know how many people that I hang out with? And I go, bro, I'd love to come to church, but I live in Pompano. You know we're in Deerfield, right? You know there's people that are in our church, they come from, like, Jupiter, Loxahatchee, Hollywood, Aventura. I mean, just because the family believes it's family. It's a 20-minute ride. It's a 30-minute ride. It's okay. We'll fight in the car. It'll be done by the time we get there. Boy, did the enemy use that in mine and my wife's life in the early days. Oh, my goodness. If we didn't have a fight on the way to church every single day, I can't even tell you how many times. Like, I just, like, forget it. I'm not going to church. I'm going home. And the enemy would go, that's what I wanted. Getting anybody here? We do it all the time. We still do it. No, now it's me and Arlie, though. We have fights on the way here. Now, do you guys understand why I started this thing? I'm trying to find a way to file this information about the Lord Jesus in my own brain. Wait a second. He just told these people he doesn't give them a sign. They're a wicked generation. In another book, he calls them wicked and perverse. And then he lays out for them that you get nothing. You get nothing more. That whole suck it up buttercup thing, you get nothing more. Fine. You don't want me in your life. Enjoy hell. Man, I was looking at this new church. There's this church out there, and they're buying some property by my house, and I looked it up, and I went to their website. And man, we want to make it fun to go to church because we want to make it hard to go to hell, so we make it fun to go to church. And, oh, man, and we're doing a building project that costs $3 million, and here's your gift. Wait a second. I'm praying for you right now that you'll decide. And I'm looking at this, and I'm going, holy crap. Do you want to stand before God knowing you said that to people? Where is this easy to go to church, hard to go to hell thing here? I'm just looking. Where did they come up with this? I'm trying to break down some walls in your heart because I know some of you guys come from these user-friendly churches, and I want you to know you got to get out of that. We don't have a building project here. This is where we're at, and if we can't afford it, we'll move into a hotel or whatever. And this relationship with the Lord, it's hard. It ain't easy. Walking with God, holiness is hard. Marriage is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Raising kids is miserable, but joyful. It will break your heart to thousands of pieces. Where did he get this reputation of being such a nice guy? Because he was a strong, honest man, that's why. Continuing, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. Please give me your attention. We're going to look at a section of scripture now, which is correlating to the other one, and I'll bring them together later. But here's what he says. You light a lamp. You don't take that lamp and put it underneath things, right? He's giving us an allegory or a symbol or a picture. He says, you light a lamp and you put it on top. That way it lights the whole house. Now, the Bible says that the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. You guys remember that verse? He is going to tell you now how to light your heart and how not to. Now, what I'm about to read to you guys is extremely difficult. The application of this is probably the worst, the hardest thing that you've ever done. But having said that, listen to how he goes here. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Now, generally speaking, I'm the first person who says, listen, whatever it is that you struggle with, add scripture to it, add prayer to it, add fellowship to it, add worship to it, and you'll be fine. But here the Lord Jesus directs something extremely direct, extremely laser beam at us. He says, what you put in your eye is what lights up your heart. If you think, brothers here, don't raise your hand because we don't want the wives to know this, but how many times have you been in a restaurant with a non-believer and some chick walks by and the guy looks at it and he says to you, oh, dude, did you see that? And you're like, no, thanks. And he goes to you and here's what he says. Bro, you can't look at the menu? Doesn't mean I'm something stupid to the effect of, you can look at that. I mean, you can look. It doesn't mean you have to touch. I'm married. I look, but I don't touch. Here, the Lord Jesus kind of ruins that all for us, doesn't he? He says, I want you to know that what you put in your eye is what lights up in your heart. Now, that light can be a dark light or a bright light. And it gets confusing here because of the language. And the only way it makes sense is if what he's talking about is not light like that. It's light as in reflection. What is reflecting from your heart? It's what you put in your eyes. Like hell and fire. So the eyes of man are never full. A man can look at filth forever and his eyes will never be full, the Bible says. For some of you, and I say you because I don't struggle with this, thank God, man, it's time to get rid of the junk. It's time to take whatever measures you need, because what's holding you back in your life with Christ is that your light has to be put under a bushel basket, because you know that the light that's shining from you, it's not light at all. It's reflecting darkness because you're putting darkness in your eyes. With that, now that I've explained it to you, let me read it again. Let me add some words to it. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket. Yes, where are you putting that? What's in the secret place? But on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light or is reflecting this goodness. But when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you, which is being reflected, is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light. As when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. He's talking to this wicked and perverse generation. He's talking to these people and he says to them, listen, let me let you in a little secret, okay? Okay? You don't have to pray out loud. And you can try and hide what you're doing, but God sees everything. God sees what you look at. Ladies, I don't know what it is that you struggle with your eyes. I don't know if it's the shopping thing. I don't know if it's some online game thing. I don't know what it is that pulls your time. But at the end of the time that you have either put down the phone or the pad or the computer, do you know you've spent so many hours wasting time looking at something that is worthless, fruitless, valueless, when you could have been doing something else? You will spend hours upon hours upon hours looking on whatever it is, app or, but for God, you don't got no time. The percentage of your time will be counted. Again, this is leading to the next part of the Bible study. We look, and I say, dude, I want you to look at your hours. I want you to take a piece of paper and write down your name at the top. I want you to write down, from 6 to 7, I did this. From 7 to 8, I did this, but, and go for it. Now, when you get down to your work, if you say from 9 to 5, I was at work, well, how much of that time did you spend on the internet looking at YouTube videos? Well, I was doing research. No. I want to know if the amount of time that you spend watching stupid videos or whatever it is equal to the amount of time you're spending with God. Dude, why are you coming down so hard on folks? It ain't me. Listen, I'm just trying to give you exactly what the Word of God says. I want you to be careful what is reflecting. If you are having trouble because your light is underneath a bushel basket, if you're having trouble because you're not experiencing the joy of the Lord, if you're having trouble because you're not a bold witness for the Lord and you want to be, if you're having trouble because whatever it is, the Lord Jesus is saying here, I want you to be careful what light you're reflecting, what you're putting in your eye, because number one, I see it too. You think that you can drive your car, look next to you, get your few free stares in, and God, you think God didn't see that? Brothers, sanctify every area of your life if you're not happy with what you're reflecting right now. And I'm only talking about if. If you're totally cool with where you're at and what you're doing, man, go ahead, have at it. You think you're fooling somebody? God is seeking worshipers who wake up every day with a crazy desire and a passion to love Him when nobody is watching. This is an amazing thing. Guys, this ain't like, look, my old church, I understood. There was a ladder, and people wanted to climb the ladder. They wanted to become a deacon. They wanted to become an elder. They wanted to become a pastor. And there was a very specific path you can take to do that. Well, if you become this, and then you do that, and then you take these classes, and you become that, and then there's a leadership, and then there's this church up in West Palm Beach, and they have these 12-step program. The whole thing is a 12-step program, and you do this 12-step program, and then you do that 12-step program, and then you find out you're this, and you could climb the ladder of success. Listen to me. We have none of that here. No ladders to success. Here, God makes men what they are. God makes women what they are. And if you will love Him crazy and passionately, He'll make you whatever He wants to make you. And you know what will happen? You'll find a joy and a peace in your heart that you never imagined, because the only thing that matters is that you are in love with the Lord. Nothing to strive for. You know why I want a good relationship with my wife? Because it will please God. I die a little every day. She dies a little every day so that she can put up with my junk and I can put up with hers, just so we can please God for no other reason. This is well-pleasing to God. You understand what I'm saying here? The Lord Jesus he's kind of dissecting today. Don't get mad at me. I'm not getting involved in your business here. I could care less how much you watch TV, watch movies, spend time on the internet, watch pornography, spend more money than you. I don't care. It's none of my business. But this is what the Lord is saying today. Watch that eye of yours. Because if your eye's full of light, I hope that light isn't darkness. And it sounds like a ridiculous thing. Light, darkness. Oh, we know now what it is. Whatever you're putting in, that's what's coming out. Be sure of that. Pastor used to always say, garbage in, garbage out, right? Continuing. After he said this to them, this is great. Hey, listen, guys, real quick. If you think I've been a little bit kind of bold with the word, wait till you see what he says now. Listen, buckle up, because he's about to get what Eddie Murphy calls his raw. We're about to get raw. I mean that without irreverence. And he spoke, and as he spoke, he's saying these things, and a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. He's looking at them. He's reading their lives. He says, no sign's going to be given. I know what you look at. You ain't fooling nobody. And the light that's in you is, it's darkness. And he goes, you want to go to eat? Can we go hang out and eat somewhere? Because let me tell you how that happens in a church setting. You get these people in the church, and they think they could schmooze you. Well, you know, they're going to buy you this, or they're going to get you that. And I'm not talking about me as a pastor. I'm talking about people who are really nice are the hardest ones to tell the truth to. But he's such a nice guy. The Lord Jesus had no problem with that whatsoever. Hey, yeah, I'll definitely eat your food. Food, man. The Lord Jesus, let me tell you something. I say this with complete confidence of Scripture. He was really into food. I stand at the door and I knock. And he who opens, I'll come in and what? While he was breaking bread, he took a few fish more than once and some and he made mountains. What did he do right before he ate? Right before he died? Last Supper. Man, the Lord was into food. And man, I dig that about him. I really dig that about him. You want to go eat afterward? He says, that you want to come over to the house for dinner? So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Let me give you the background on that, guys. The Pharisees... Does anybody not know who the Pharisees are? The Pharisees were religious leaders of the time. They dressed the part. You could tell a Pharisee was a religious by the way they looked. Now, when they had this ceremony, their hands were dirty. They had just come out of the world. They would have a bucket of food. They would dip their hand, and they would wash their hands. This is according to Jewish scripture that I read. Not Jewish scripture. Jewish traditions that I've read. And if the water ran down your arm, you had to start all over again. You had to make sure you had a certain angle because now you have the world's dirt on you. You're unclean. And if it ran down, if the water ran down your arm, I'm unclean. Oh, I got to start all over again. So they had this whole tradition, the way they washed. It was a whole ritual. It was a whole ritual. So they were marveled at him. The guy just ate. And didn't do our ritual washing. Then the Lord said to him, now, please see this. They were offended that he didn't wash. That's not a big deal. Shouldn't the Lord overlook that? I mean, I could understand him stepping in before they stoned the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. I mean, think about the big things that he had to deal with. He didn't wash. They were offended he didn't wash. It's their house. In our house, we take our shoes off. We don't take our shoes off in somebody else's house. You know, what's the big deal? But this set him on a rant. So deep. So aggressive. Watch what he says to them now. When they finally revealed their hearts to him. The Lord said to him, now you Pharisees, make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones. Did not he who made the outside make the inside also? You hear what he just said? I see what you look at. He who made the eye sees what you look at. Are you kidding me? Look at you from the outside. You're beautiful, but in the inside, you're greedy. You're perverted. You're wicked. This is what he just said to the religious leaders. How do you not love this guy immediately? You go online. Hi, I'm Joel. It's good to see you. Pastor Cindy and me, we want to invite you out to our church. You'll find a seat. There's only 70,000 people here. We're going to jump on our private jet now. We're going to fly to Canada, and we're going to do the same thing there. You're just jealous because you don't have 73,000 people. That's exactly what it is. You nailed me on the first shot. I'm just jealous of anybody that has a bigger church. That's why I should never say anything about anybody. Because it's my jealousy showing. But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. Now let me tell you the reference there. Now this is not a teaching on giving, but you have three things. You have a tithe, you have an offering, and you have an alms. A tithe is when you give 10% of your overall income to the Lord, and in the case of our beautiful, amazing nation, you keep track of it because the government will give you a percentage of it back. Offering, same way. You support a ministry, you support a missionary, you pay for the lights, you know, something like that. You also, you keep track of that. Then there's the alms. The Bible says the Lord Jesus doing the speaking, that's when you don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. That's when a guy comes to you and he's a homeless guy and he's on the road and something in your heart just says, you know what, generally I don't give these guys nothing, but there's something about this guy that's sincere. Come here, buddy. And you slip him a 10 or something like that and you put your hand on his back and pray for him. Don't tell anybody about that. It's just between you and the Lord. That he said, if you would do that without the pomp and circumstance, if you wouldn't look the part, if you just gave some alms of your heart, you'd make everything clean. But you don't. You're filthy and wicked. Everything that you do is so other people can look at you and have them think about you that you're special. For the application, it was the fish on my car or my truck. It was the Christian t-shirt. It was, you know, the whole, whatever it was that was in me that I wanted people to know that I was a Christian. And I had to really self-examine. Do I want them to know I'm a Christian for the right reason or for the wrong reason? For me, the application of this was, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be a Christian on the DL for a little while. I'm going to let my light shine in people's lives when they allow me to let it shine in their lives. But I'm not going to be like, hey, you want to come out to my church? I'm not going to invite them to church. You know what I'm going to invite them to? The Lord Jesus. That's what I'm going to do. That was for me. That was me. I'm not telling you that everybody should do that. That you have to heed. But here's what he says to them again. In case you think that this is the end of his put down, it's not. But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. For 42, but woe to you, Pharisee, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. He says to the Pharisees, you have your mint. Now, my daughter has an amazing garden in the backyard. She grows all these, how'd you guys know that? And now you go to my wife, you go to my house and my daughter, Arlie, you leave with bags. You think she was a junk dealer because she uses the same bags we used to sell ounces of weed in. But now one of them is peppermint. Another one is sweet basil. Another one is oregano. Oh, it's amazing. And I'm literally, she goes in the back, picks them, and then you hear, here's your stuff. But they said, he looks at them, he says, you think I don't see? You take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's yours, God, and then this other 50 is mine. And he said, that's good that you tithe, that would be 5%, make it 10, whatever it is, that's 10%. He says, you do that, and you bring that, and you give that away. He says, and that's beautiful. That's a good thing. He said, but you forget something more important than giving a percentage of your money, than giving a percentage of your stuff. And you know what it is? Look what he says. Justice and the love of God. Woe to you, verse 43, Pharisees. For you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace. Woe to you, scribes and hypocrites, for you are like the graves which are seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. Now, just so you know, in the Old Testament times, they used to do what's called whitewashed tombs. You ever heard that saying, whitewashed tombs? Reason is, if a Jew walked over a grave, he was ceremonially unclean. He'd have to literally leave the town for a day. until nightfall, and you'd have to wash all this stuff. So they would whitewash the graves. They'd whitewash the ground. He said, you know what you guys are? You're a whitewashed tomb. Only nobody can see it. And when men walk over you, you make them unclean. This is horrible. This is the worst thing you could say to somebody. You know what that'd be like? Here, let me tell you what that's exactly like. Not like exactly, I mean like exactly. It'd be like if somebody had the nerve to say to a pastor, listen, you're dragging people to hell. You think you got a great church because people stand up or come forward, but here's what you're really doing. You're sentencing people to hell. You pay thousands and millions of dollars for this gigantic sound system. You have this amazing building, but let me tell you what you're really doing. You're sentencing people to hell because your church is no church at all. It's a morgue. Now, I didn't say that, guys. This is what he just said. Must I read it again? These are the Pharisees. These are the people that ran the temples. These are the religious. This is that's the exact correlation. He said to them, you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of it. Then one of the lawyers answered and said to him, teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also. He said to them, don't worry, I got some for you too. And he said, woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men down with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets. Listen. So he goes into this church, he tells them this, and one of the guys there goes, excuse me, you didn't just offend the pastor, you offended me too. Maybe it's the worship leader, maybe it's this. He goes, yeah, you know what? I got some for you too. You think that what you do is called worship? Let me tell you what it's really called. It's called poison. You play secular, ungodly music in the church, and you put your little Christian twist on it. Don't stop believing. That's not worship, my friend. Or should I say my enemy? Ryan, you're just using this as a platform to put other ministries down. No, I'm not. You have no idea what I'm thinking or what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, this is the Lord Jesus. Woe to you. You think that word woe means? You're not nice. No. Woe means you're in big trouble, buddy. Woe. You're on your way to hell and you're dragging other people there too. And I see what you do and I know where you live. You like that movie too? That was a funny movie. This ain't no joke. Whatever it is these people did, let me tell you something. I ain't about doing it. Whatever they did to make him this mad that he would say such horrible things to them, I'm staying far away from it. Anybody amen that? And here's what I'm starting with first. I'm going to make sure I'm watching my eyes from now on. Because I ain't putting nothing in me. But light, not dark light. I don't want no dark light in me. Why? If God can't, if people don't know it, then why? Because God knows it. And I'm really not here for you all. I'm here for God. I could care less. I'm telling you, ask my wife, my three favorite words. I don't care. I don't care. I am not here for your show. I'm not here for your judgment. I'm not here for your entertainment. I'm here because God told me to come here and do what I do. I did not climb some ladder of success. Ask the people that are in this room that have known me for this long. Ask Dean Callen. Ask John Yancey. Ask Jim Young. I know these guys 20 plus years. I ain't changed one freaking bit. Not one. Am I lying, Dean? I ain't here for that. I'm here. He ain't lying, right? I'm here to please God. I'm trying my best to tell you exactly. I'm just reading back to you what the word says. The Lord Jesus was not happy with these people, and I ain't going to have him not be happy with me for the same reasons, right? Continuing again, verse 42 again. No, read 45 this time. Then one of the lawyers answered and said to him, "Teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also." And he said to them, I added to them, "Woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men down with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it will be required of this generation." Listen to me. This is. He says, you talk about your fathers, your Pharisees, and you know the, he says, you talk about how, oh, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, I'm from the tribe of Asher, I'm from the tribe of this. He says, what you do is you're affirming that you are of the same line of the people who killed the prophets. And you say, well, I wouldn't have participated, but you still enshrine your fathers. They killed the prophets, I sent them. I sent them Jeremiah, they killed him. I sent them Isaiah, they killed him. And you sit and talk about how they're your fathers, this is my generation, this is my lineage. You killed the prophets. I sent them to you. You killed them. And the blood of all the prophets that are ever be killed are going to be required on this generation. This is crazy. Why don't we see this same Jesus in the world? I saw this, me and my wife were watching Tucker Carlson the other day, and he was just absolutely shredding this one woman. This woman comes on there, and she's got the hijab on, and by the way, it was the sharpest hijab I've ever seen. It had the most beautiful flowers and stuff, and let me tell you, she's a very light-skinned black chick, but she was a very attractive lady, and she's sitting there talking about she needs a safe space so she could talk about things. Did you see that one too? And then she says, as a woman, a queer woman, and a Muslim, we had to reverse, like, did she just say queer woman? And my wife was like, can she call herself queer? I thought that was like, you're not supposed to call people queer. And like, I've lost track of the ability to understand what is politically correct input. So, any college students here? Is it cool to be called queer now? So, see, when I grew up, if you called somebody queer, that wasn't that good. That was a fight. Now, like, queer is cool. What are you, a queer? As a matter of fact, I am. Huh? Oh, she flips a coin whether she's gay or not. Gotcha. We used to call that confused. So, and then we thought, and then my wife says to me, wait, don't Muslims kill gay people? Yes, they do. So how is she a gay or queer Muslim woman? Now, when I tell you that she was black, I mean she was black only in like, because she called herself black. Because her skin, listen, that sister was whiter than me. Now, I don't know if she was just kind of feeling black that day, because apparently now, you can feel black, and that's enough. No? Huh? Right! Same show, there was a girl who felt like a hippo, so she was a hippo. It sounds like I'm mocking them, right? I'm not! There was a professor at a college who identified as a hippo, and the college told her, they loved it. What a great idea. You must identify as, and she is a hippo. What happened? What happened? Because the Lord Jesus, he apparently right now is being very politically incorrect. He was not interested in your excuses or your feelings at this point in time, was he? At no point in time have I ever heard him use that word, feelings. He wasn't interested in feelings. You either are or are not his. And as we learned last week, do you remember what he said last week? I think I forgot to tell you guys this. He said, he who does not gather with me scatters. Here's what he means. You can't be indifferent about God. You're either with him or you're against him. There is no indifference to Christ. You're either with Christ or against Christ. No. You're either with him or not with him. No. You're either with him or against him. That's militant. That's Jesus Christ. Very militant. I mean, does anybody argue with this here, what we're reading here? Did I add my twist on it? Is there any way for me to read this in any... Listen, in case you thought we were finished, oh no, he saves the worst for last. Or the best, depending on what you think. Verse 52, he says to them, woe to you lawyers. Oh, that's what I forgot to tell you. Let me tell you what the lawyers were. Lawyers, when he says lawyers, he wasn't a lawyer like we have lawyers nowadays, but it's the same principle. There were these people in the temple who interpreted the law of Moses, the book of Leviticus. Now, what happened was on the Sabbath, you were not allowed to work. You guys understand that, right? The Jews were not allowed to work on the Sabbath. However, if you did one of these things that they said was or was not, it could either cost you your life or not. For instance, they started adding an oral tradition to the Word of God. Okay, so the book of Leviticus says you do not work on the Sabbath, you keep it holy, right? However, they said if you hold something under your arms, it's not really working. So if you go like this, and now you're not working. Now you're okay. Here's the thing also. If you made your lunch on Friday and you hid it a half a mile away, you're really only walking to your lunch, so that gave you a half a mile to eat your lunch. Now, if you tied a rope to your house, took it all the way as far out as you can make that rope, and then walked a half a mile from there, you could actually walk that whole distance. Now, if it sounds like I'm being silly, I'm not. These were the oral traditions they actually wrote. You can look them up if you think I'm kidding. They actually wrote this silly stuff. Curious Joel, I know exactly. Listen, they do this. And he said to them, you know what you've done? Here's what you did, Christian. Here's what you did, Christian. You hang a trip on people that I don't dig. You give them excuses for their sin, and you give them sin as holiness. You tell them it's okay to do this, and it's not okay to do that. You give them the excuse. Well, you come to this church, and because we have a cross up there, I profane the name of God by preaching a message of prosperity. If you will give God, as a matter of fact, I'm sensing in my spirit, hold on, there's somebody here that has a check in their pocket. It's got numbers on it too, yep, it's a check with numbers. One of the numbers, hold on, five. There's a five on your check right now. That person God wants to bless. If you will write $1,000 and put it in that box, by this time next week, God have blessed you with 10,000. Just saying, that's what God says. Now, some of you guys think to my, Ryan, you're kidding. I'm not kidding. This goes on in church after church after church. You come in, and the first thing they have all the elders and deacons up front with plates. Halfway through the worship, there's more plates up and down the aisles. Three quarters through the service, now we're going to give the offering. You have to put money in different pockets, because if you don't, you that are part of Calvary Chapel, you that got saved in this church, you're laughing right now, but let me tell you what God is doing. He's weeping. Turn on any Christian show, is scary what people are doing in the name of Christ. Call it sowing a seed. That's exactly what they call it. He says to them now again, so this is what lawyers do. This is what they were for back in the time. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge and do not enter in yourselves, and those who are entering you hindered. They came to the temple looking for God. And because you hang your trip on them, I told this story a couple weeks ago, I think. I don't remember. I'm driving down the street one day, and I had a rental car. And I don't listen to the radio. I'm not a radio guy. I don't like the radio. But I had a rental. Somebody hit my truck going back a couple of years. I'm driving it, and I'm putting on, I don't remember what station it was, and I hear this girl talking. Oh, it's a Christian. Okay, he's teaching. Let's hear this thing. And she says, it's just wrong for your husband to tell you you have to read the Bible every day. When you have to take care of the kids, take care of the house, it is wrong. They are laying their trip on you. It's a modern day lawyer. And I'm like, wait a second. I'm not hearing what I'm hearing. And she went on to explain from Scripture how women do not have to read the Bible every day. I was appalled. I mean, how can you tell people not to read the Bible and think that that's okay? How can you use Scripture? I call them up. And some girl answers the phone at the radio station. And I said, I'm sorry. I'm a local minister here in town. How could you tell people not to read the Bible? She gets indignant with me and she says, where does it say in the Scripture that you should read the Bible every day? And I said, lady, how many scriptures you want? The Lord Jesus, as was his custom, woke up in the morning every day and spent time with the Lord. Every single day, the word is a lamp unto my feet. The whole Psalm 119, 170 some odd verses are the virtues of the word of God. How could you put that kind of stumbling block in front of me? Well, I guess we will just disagree. And she hung up on me. Man, I drove down to that station. I firebombed it. No, I didn't. See, that would have been going too far. That would have been the one step far that my wife talked about. But you understand that the indignation that should rise up in your heart. This is what he said the lawyers were doing. People came to the temple seeking God, and you gave them information that stopped them from getting in. You told them the way to God is through your heart. No, the way to through God is through your spirit. The Bible actually says that if you follow your heart, you're a fool, that your heart is wicked and deceitful. Oh, but that's a different meaning. No, it's not a different meaning. You open your spirit and invite God in to take over all that you are and all that you have and all that you will ever be. Man, I go on a long time again. I'm sorry. Here we go. Last part. And as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say that they might accuse him. Why do you think they would do that, guys? One reason only, to kill him. They wanted him dead. He just said to them, everything. Now, I've been talking to my guys, the guys that are on my text chain. There's a handful of you guys. And you notice the major theme that the Lord has been saying to me and through me to you that are on it. How you identify with what God's doing in your heart is who you are. He wants to correct you, and you can either reject it or receive it, right? The Bible says that he who refuses correction is stupid. Here, he just corrected the Pharisees, and they didn't repent. Oh, my goodness, we've been messing up. Oh, listen. Guys, I met with somebody the other day, and they told me really good news. You ready? They told me Bob's about to start another church. Yes. Yes. You know why? Because his non-compete clause for 3 years is almost over. And I looked at him and I said, non what? He said he had a non-compete clause for 3 years. Wait a second. Compete as in what? That my church is somehow competing with the enduring word of the, we're competitors, right? Because the more people that I bring in, the more money. Or the more salvations. I mean, where's the competition here? I'm confused. This is why I can now sit back. Remember the first thing I said, guys? Remember the first thing I said? I'm going to sit back and go, you know what? I don't have to get all wound up with these people. God's got it. He sees the Pharisees' hearts back then, and he sees their hearts now. I'm going to let them do what they want to do. I'm going to do this. Ladies, God sees what that man's done to you. He sees what that woman has done to you. He sees, just rest in him. Let him take it. He's got your back. And listen, he's a whole lot better than me. I wouldn't have said that stuff like that. I'd have gotten all out of control. He don't. Laser beam. Now, laser beam can either dissect the hard areas of their heart and take it out and throw it away, or it can mutilate their whole body. Here's my prayer tonight, today, this morning. I'm hands off from now on. You know what? I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to preach the word of God, live for God, keep my eyes pure. I'm going to do that. Let them do what they do. I ain't involved anymore. Here's what the Bible says this. I love this verse. He says, the Apostle Paul said, it's for me to judge the things that go on in the house of God. Those outside the house of God, God will judge. Let him take care of them. Let's just keep each other straight. Let's, you know, encourage each other while it's called day, the Bible says. Let's encourage each other. He's got this. He's really good at it, right? Now that, Jim, could you come up? Now that you know that the Lord Jesus might be different than the person that you thought he might be, maybe he's not the, maybe he's not the passive, restraining, nice guy that you thought he was. How about this? How about this time you surrender your heart to the true and living God, the real Jesus Christ, the one who's got your back, really, the one who's going to even up, the one who's justice and mercy, the one who's equity and the love. I don't know if there's anybody here that has seen God in a new light today for the first time and has not experienced complete surrender, releasing of your heart, a releasing of your spirit to that. You know what? I preached today with some intensity. I kind of put myself in his place, like Godzilla for a minute. But now, I ain't gonna tell nobody off no more. Ladies, God's got you. That's my savior, man. Am I right? I'm gonna let Pastor play a song. I want you to just think about the things that we talked about. And if you've seen God in a new light today and you really, really want to accept that savior, that protector, then I'm gonna give you an opportunity to say a quick prayer and to do that for whatever reason. Thank you.
giving you my heart and all that is within. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams. I'm laying down my rights. I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you.
If God has directed his word at you today, and you know it's time for a new thing to go on in your life, and you're tired of living for the person next door, you're tired of living for some show, you're here, you came here, you came to church here. Don't be shy about it now. It's too late. If you're ready to accept the Lord Jesus in a way that completely tells everybody and anybody, let me reiterate that. If you're just ready to tell the Lord Jesus you love him and you're ready for change in your life, please stand up to your feet and accept this free gift. Amen, brother. Amen. Yes. He's different than you thought. He's willing, ready, and he is so able. God. He knows. I think We've gotten in the routine because we stood here and we came here and we got in this routine of church for so long. That we thought if we just would fall away or if we things going on in our lives that either nobody knew or God didn't care. But we saw today. And I think that we've illustrated today together as a family. This is not about church. This is about just loving God. If you're here and you want to just love God, not be a part of a church, not join some organization, not be like somebody else, just if you just want to love God, just stand up. It's normal, guys. It's very, very normal to be a part of a church and think that loving God means putting on a show for others, because that's what we see and that we've been used to. But there is such a freedom in becoming just a child of God. And not having to change the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you don't, just let him do it. If you're ready to just be a child of God. One more time, I ask you to stand up. Just to be a child of God. No more games, no more show. Hallelujah. You that are standing, or you that are sitting and standing up in your heart, in your spirit more accurately, say these words. Say, dear God, I love you. Forgive me, please, for choosing my way. Forgive me, please, for the show. I want to love you. Teach me how. Fill me with a hunger and a thirst and a truth. Dear God, I receive you as Savior and Lord forever. Amen. Amen. Congratulations. You may be seated. Guys, I'm so honored to be able to stand up before you guys and be able to do this every week. This is my whole life. The stuff that we preach today, it's life-altering. He's not who you thought he was. He really isn't. If you're looking for your dreams will run from you. If you're looking for the Lord, he will deliver your dreams. That's what he does. If your dream is just to get along with your spouse, follow God. If your dream is a better job, follow God. If your dream is to be healed of some disease or sickness, follow God. He delivers. He's never forsaken his righteous. You are his righteous. We will do this together. I'm not leaving, I promise. You don't leave either, okay? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. I don't know who you are some days. I read the Bible, God, and I'm just I'm like, who are you? You're so hard to know and yet so easy to hold. Bless us, God, that we would leave here living this life to the fullest. Bless us, Lord Jesus, to know the power of your love and the power of simple falling in love with you. Thank you, God. May this week be the best week we've had in a long time. Please help us. We need you. And we pray, uttering the only name which men may be saved, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.